Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to continue this conversation about this real nice looking lady, friend, beautiful woman, it appears. I don't know her, great friend of Michelle Obama's, and now reporter, we're understanding a great friend of the president. But you've already heard already, you know, is unfolding before us that they met when it appears, but according to Valerie Jarrett, and you can see her and hear it on the VFN Torch when she was speaking to C-SPAN, that she went to recruit Michelle Obama out of the private sector and bring her into the public sector, and she invited her fiance. Oh man, I wish you had more time. This guy, I mean, he said the word fiance 15 million times.
Did he really?
We're like stuck on this place. And, you know, my fiance. I'm like, my goodness, you got a fiance?
Does she have a name?
Very sad before you got a fiance, because now it's just all about, does she have a name? Is it like a name? Yeah. You know? And I guess he was just real proud. He's just real proud.
I guess.
He's real proud. You know, I guess then next thing is like, she's my wife. She's my wife. Anyway, so what Michelle said, getting back to what we were talking about, I need to run this by my fiance. And she wasn't. I'm talking, this is two different stories. This is a serious commitment. Valerie said that they had a lot of student debt. And if you go on to school, I mean, you know, I can imagine a law degree. Mm-hmm. I need to run this by my fiance, Bob. No, it was actually Barry. No, Barack. It was Barack. And at that time, her fiance, who was courting her, according to his words. And they have a plaque, by the way, where they had their first ice cream together in the city.
Really?
Yeah. Where she was deciding, reportedly, whether she wanted to have a relationship with him or not. And so what they decided, what Valerie said at that particular meeting there, according to her, was, hey, this, because Brock came to the table, met him or whatever, and said, he listens to his wife and he listens to me. And, which is great. You should listen to as much counsel as possible. But, when you're the leader, you're supposed to eventually make the decision yourself and lead. And so we found out, it's like, man, Valerie just kind of, she was asking her and eventually, I guess, them to come out of the private sector and come into the public sector, in other words, government.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today. President Barack Obama is right in the White House today. Mm-hmm.
That was about 21 years ago, so it's been a long-lasting relationship.
21 years ago. And we want to talk about that because power, as we've talked about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so there's good things and there's negative things. And we want to talk about is, if America's under a bad state, if something's going wrong in America, there's something spiritually wrong. We're spiritually sick. Something happened. So what spirit is in the land? We wanted to find that out. We began that conversation actually sometime back with talking about, you know, Woodrow Wilson. And then we began to continue to talk about Woodrow as the author that we talked about yesterday with the book that he had written called
Scott Berg.
I'm sorry?
Scott Berg,
written called Wilson. And he just, he confirmed exactly, there was detailed research, what God revealed prophetically in the context of it was that he said that his wife, which was selected for him after his wife died in office, and who basically could do everything he could do when he had a stroke, a handful of folks, the wife and a few doctors basically locked him in his room and ran the country, according to his reports and his biography, what he writes about him.
Wow.
And so we want to say that because that's our history, But also the fact is, what does that mean spiritually? What was going on? Because the truth is, if this particular Washington socialite, as he describes, that they introduced to President Woodrow Wilson, could be the president, why didn't she?
Mm.
But why did you need Woodrow? You know, why do you need, if the question is that if I don't know, only go to, it may seem. But if Valerie Jarrett could be, if she feels like she's supposed to lead the country, why don't she run for office? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That would be great. She'd have a chance to be elected, you know? And so we're finding out, you know, we're not saying the president's locked in a room somewhere like Woodrow Wilson, but it is true that this is reportedly the most absent president from all these different events because he's at home with the family. But we're finding out he's not there alone. Mm-hmm. They're not there alone. That Valerie Jarrett's having popcorn with him and, you know, this longtime, quote, family friend. And so alone is not alone. And when Woodrow was alone, he wasn't alone. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So we're finding out. So then it matters who you marry. It matters who you're alone with if they're the ones determining what's happening, because you can have true authority that, for example, our president is the president of the United States. And so spiritually speaking, in regards to the church, that we honor that.
Right.
Him, so we pray for him, and we want to make sure that we just want to pray that God speaks to him and gives him protection, gives him wisdom to lead the country, and he's got a lot of tough decisions to make. But we didn't vote anybody else in. This is not 2-for-1, 3-for-1, mm-hmm. 5-for-1. This is not Walmart.
Right.
This is government. But it's happened for years. You know, if you go back and look at all the different things that have taken place, the question is, we need to know spiritually, how do we need to pray? What's going on in the context of this? And so just this morning, I believe it on Fox, was it Fox News?
Yes.
Yeah, they're talking about, tell us what's happening with it, Fox News.
Well, this is an article one of the gentlemen from Fox program, Steve Doocy, had with the author, Ed Klein, who wrote a book called The Amateur. And the book is about the president, but it's also about some information in regards to Valerie Jarrett, and he calls her the de facto president, Ed Klein does. And so we do have a transcript of that interview.
We'll just watch it right now. I want to hear this because this comes out after we're revealing what the Lord's laying on our heart.
This was a little bit before, but okay. We just came to our revelation now.
Okay.
Our next guest says one of President Obama's most trusted advisors, Valerie Jarrett, has a mysterious hold over the president and the first lady and has influenced the president to make some unwise decision. Here's how the president describes his relationship with senior advisor Valerie Jarrett. Valerie is one of my oldest friends. Over time, I think our relationship evolved to the point where she's like a sibling to me. I trust her completely. So who is Valerie Jarrett and why does she have such an influence on President Obama? Ed Klein is the author of the soon-to-be number one New York Times bestseller, The Amateur, Barack Obama in the White House. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Nice to have you. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
She has unique power.
Yes.
For somebody working inside the White House.
We haven't seen anything like this in modern presidential history. One person who's the best friend of the first lady and the soulmate of the president, who is the last person to leave the Oval Office after a meeting, goes upstairs to the family quarters, has dinner with the president, goes on vacation with him, has his ear, is de facto... Right. President of the United States.
Wow, that is big. Well, let's talk about her resume. Does she have the resume to have this job?
No, she doesn't. But what she does have is the trust of Michelle Obama, number one, whom she hired in Chicago, and the president, who uses her as his gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps away people who might come in and in some way embarrass the president, try to get him to do things that he doesn't want to do. She is the radar,
right,
for the president and the first lady.
You refer to, in your book, you talk about she has also been responsible for much of the incompetence and amateurism that have been the hallmarks of Obama's time in office. Let's talk about some of the things. The SEAL Team 6 raid that killed Osama bin Laden.
This is the one time that the president, that I know of, didn't take her advice. For months, she argued that he should not send a SEAL team in there, because she was afraid that if it didn't work, it would be a political disaster for him. He did not take her advice that one time, and things worked out very nicely.
Right, and that's the biggest thing of his administration.
That's right.
Because they were going to hang their hat on health care, but David Axelrod said, Mr. President, don't do it. And she said,
do it. Go for broke. You came here to engineer social change in this country. I mean, she's a very, very liberal person. And she, for instance, urged him to put that mandate on church-related organizations
right.
that were required to give free health care for contraceptives.
Right.
This was against the advice of Joe Biden, the vice president, against the advice of Bill Daley. Bill Daley brought Cardinal Dolan into the Oval Office to try to get the president to reverse himself. And when Valerie Jarrett heard that, she went to the president, blew her stack, and Bill Daley was shortly ushered out.
Yeah, more powerful than the chief. That's something. A lot of people were curious, why on earth would the president of the United States have gone to Copenhagen to push for the Summer Olympics to go to Chicago? Well, she used to work for Mayor Daley, the mayor of Chicago. Is there a connection?
A big connection, because if the Olympics had gone to Chicago, there were billions of dollars that would have been spent on building Olympic infrastructure. The president did take her advice, did go to Copenhagen, and of course, as we know, he came back with egg on his face because we didn't get the Olympics.
Real quickly, Ed, before you go, the mainstream media has really ignored the amount of influence this woman from Chicago has over this administration.
It is quite amazing because she is really ground zero in the White House, and the administration has followed her advice, and the mainstream media has largely ignored it.
No kidding. All right. We'll read all about her in The Amateur, Barack Obama in the White House. Ed Klein, we thank you very much for joining us live.
Thank you so much.
This is amazing to watch what's happening. And what we're seeing is it looks like, when we're talking about spiritually speaking, you're looking at a seduced power. And the tendency for all of us is, because we all feel so inadequate. We feel so inadequate. Mm-hmm. We want to lean unnaturally on people that have talents and that type of thing. But the truth is that God takes very seriously those in authority, and he expects us to turn to him and take counsel around us, mm-hmm. but turn to him in the context of that. And there's many people willing to take advantage of leaders by saying, I'll handle that. I'll get the property for you, Ahab. What is the spirit over America? What's happening in America? And with that, we're seeing some manifestations that happen in the church and everywhere, but we're also seeing some things talked about in our leadership of our country in regards to potentially seduced authority or not. And, as you heard, Valerie Jarrett she recruited Michelle Obama, and then came after that was her fiance, Barack. And so she's very significant in the context, a long 21-year friend, I believe, or something 20, of that nature.
Friendship.
And I do want to say, if she's a friend and she's not seducing power and that type of thing, that's a great asset to have somebody that's in every meeting that you have, that knows your heart, that knows the way you think, that can call to remind you of your vision and what you're doing. It's not necessarily a negative thing. And one example of that is President John Kennedy, who so many people have this great admiration for. He had his brother Robert in the room all the time, and it didn't matter what it was.
Right.
And not only did he have his brother Robert in the room, but he used Robert.
Yeah.
He used Robert, but it was actually what President Kennedy wanted done. So,
Robert truly had his back, had his brother's back, had the president's back.
Well, yeah, that's what their dad told him, but he would let Robert do the tough things, but they talked about it. And then he would be like the good guy. And, but he knew that, Robert didn't do anything unless Jack. And so understand this, that just because, somebody's close to somebody doesn't mean that's a negative thing. It could be a lifelong friend. I mean, mm-hmm. what better? Because I'm sure it's a very isolated life, living in the White mm-hmm. House. But also, it's a place we talk about. Why are we in this spiritual place? Why are we shoving and nudging Israel? Why is Israel not rebuking our president, which we'll be talking about today's programs? Is that something's going on?
Yeah.
And as we begin to just study and learn that. Valerie Jarrett is Iranian born, but is American born, in Iran. And there was alleged reports that she was negotiating with the Ayatollah, which the White House, denies it happening. But they're saying today, and Israel knew about it for about a year, that these talks that are going on now started about under the other president, which was, I forget the other president of Iran's name.
Ahmadinejad?
Yeah, Ahmadinejad. Yeah. That, and so they had to be negotiating with some consistent power, which would have been the Ayatollah, who just called the prime minister a rabid dog in the midst of these things.
Which, of course, this is just came out, unknown sources or very little, but the AP just picked it up as well now. I mean, this is about
the rabid dog?
No, about the conversations between Valerie and the Ayatollah.
Yeah, make sure that's a source so everybody can see that. But, and the thing about it is like, this is serious stuff. I mean, one man, one woman can't be president alone. They have to have people around them they can trust, that they can do these things. But they're an extension of their own brain, their own vision. And so this cabinet and this specialty cabinet, I believe she has a more secret service than others in the history of assistance and stuff. I can see why, because she's making huge national decisions for our country.
The National Review says in an article called The Jarrett File that she commands a staff of nearly three dozen and has a hand in decision-makings, invitations to state dinners, and gifts to foreign leaders, even folks that are nominated to the Supreme Court.
Right. And the book that just came out that we you just heard the interview with Fox News on the earlier program, I believe it was this program, is the book's called Amateur.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that, and you can see all this on the VFN Torch and its sources, and I'll go to VFNTV.com. When they were discussing about who they wanted to be president, they were discussing everybody at the JFK Library, and they were deciding on who they wanted to select to be president. And our current president was their last choice. You can watch this whole panel. You can watch them talk about it. You can watch every bit of it. They thought he was the least likely to do what they wanted done, which at that time they would have called him an amateur in regards to what they're wanting done, because they wanted somebody that had the courage, as they put it, quote, and could have this transformational presidency. And then all of a sudden you started hearing the speeches, you know, fundamental transformation, and we got to change a few things. We got to rewrite history, and all these things are coming out. And that's just, they went for it.
Yeah.
And everything shifted. And here we are. The question is, though, when you're seeing someone have this kind of power, they didn't get elected. I mean, they would talk about, you know, wives of presidents in the past. They would say, well, you know, she has too much power. Nancy Reagan and others would say that about different spouses. Hillary Clinton, the president, Bill Clinton's wife. And but what could be worse than a spouse's having too much authority in the context of that is just an individual and running the country. And it seems like that's happening. And what we're looking at, spiritually speaking, is this book called Amateur means if I feel like I don't know how to do this, if I don't know how to get Naboth's property, I will turn to Jezebel. I will turn to, which is no masculinity, femininity term. I'm not talking about women or men. I mean, you just start turning to somebody who says, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. And next thing you know, but they have different motives. I mean, we would have a lot more talented people doing what we're doing if we just stuck to gifts, right? But instead, we're limping along in the context of it, because just because you have a gift don't mean that you're God.
Catch the first hour.
Yeah, catch the first hour. And please, please humble yourself, anyway, so it can be used. And, with that, knowing this, then that what we're seeing in the White House, I believe, it's the same thing we're seeing in what is called the church house, where Christians gather in America, where leaders are hired, they're interviewed, they submit resumes, they have search committees, they determine who they want based on what they're telling this person they want, and they go, okay, we'll hire you, and next thing you know, they're leading. Supposedly, they're the front man or front woman for that particular church gathering. But the truth is, there's a Valerie on the board somewhere. There is a, we talk about World War One, World War Two, with Woodrow Wilson. That's like WW, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was at World War One, but he had Woodrow Wilson's wife, one, And you have Woodrow Wilson's wife, too, right? WW2. Mm-hmm. Oh. What we're looking at right now, we're talking about World War III. This definitely could be potentially be Woodrow Wilson, wife 3. Mm. This could be the very same thing going on. But we have to understand that this is just reflecting the church. It's reflecting the church. How many people say, hey, I want to do things God's way in the church, but you bring up God's way and they look at you like you're an enemy. And it's like, didn't you just say you wanted to do things God's way? Right. When you want to bring in his blueprint? And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I just want to say I want to do things God's way, but I want to do it my way. And you're seen as an enemy bringing in, okay, this is how it is. You don't hire someone to be over you. That's a hireling. They're going to run. You have to pray and ask God to lead someone to be there, or maybe raise up from your own number to begin to lead. Because this process has caused atheists to be over churches now. ABC News, you can see it on the VFN Torch. They're interviewing atheists that are shepherds over pastors. And Jude talks about that too. He talks about shepherds that only feed themselves. But you can have an atheist, because the wrong ways happen. And so we're seeing what's happening in Washington, D.C., a reflection of what happened in the church. And this is what our president said. And there's something about our current president that he does. He just tells it like it is. He says, I'm a Christian just like you are. Mm. I'm a Christian just like you are. And you know what?
He's right.
He's one of us. Mm-hmm. He's one of the church. And it's like, dear God, you know, forgive us. Maybe you're speaking to us through our authority, the elected president of the land, that said we need to turn back to you. Where we see the White House, we're seeing our house. We're seeing what happens in our home, in our marriages, with our friends. Dear God, forgive us. And we pray for the president. We pray protection over him, and that you would give him wisdom and godly counsel in Jesus' name. Now's the time to talk, to understand, to act. You know, we talk about first we want to be able to get educated about what's happening. Then we want to be able to take God's word, the light of God's word, and shine it on our education. What do we learn? What does God say about it? The third thing we always want to do is inspire you, understanding, okay, now we know it wasn't to intimidate us, it wasn't to cause us to go into some cave somewhere, but to inspire us, hey, God's empowered us to respond to this. And this is a shocker. And the last thing is to activate you. To activate you in your marriage, your family, your relationship, your workplace, your neighborhood, your community, and your nation to be the light of the world, what God's called you to be. And that's one of our driving forces. So we're like news gatherers nowadays, where we just want to gather more news and we brag about what we know versus saying, okay, what do I do with what I know? It's not enough to know something. What we need to is, what are we going to do with the news that we know? And it's just like we're news junkies. Mm. They thought Ted Turner had lost his mind, that 24-hour news cycle, this will never work. It'll never work. And it's like, is there anything else but news?
All right.
And the question is, that was a brilliant, brilliant strategy for the adversary, is to overwhelm you with information that all of a sudden the stuff that really matters doesn't stand out anymore. And you just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to shut it all down. Mm. And if you do that, that's when you end up walking down the street to the ghetto, to the trains, to the camps, to the showers, to mass graves. And sad to say, I mean, that's how it happens. It's always how it's happened. And if you haven't interviewed somebody who over in the Middle East, their words and their thoughts in the education system about how they're educating their kids about Israel, you'll be really surprised at how much hate there is in the earth. And, it doesn't matter. We're going to be having a moment today where talking about dividing the land of Jerusalem, and they're wanting to have a Palestinian capital on the east side of Jerusalem. And the guy says, you have to understand, when you think about all this, don't think about facts. Mm. Don't think about the facts at all. You need to think about perception. How people perceive, because these guys, they've been taught from a young age, this is what they perceive to be real, which is very, very important. But before we go to that, we want to continue our conversation about understanding, according to a recent book written called Amateur, speaking about Valerie Jarrett, one of the chief advisors of our president, that she's like the de facto president is what he says. And this is kind of like where God was revealing to us about, you know, WW3, World War III, or Woodrow Wilson's wife 3 in regards to, hey, you know, this is the president that Woodrow Wilson, they said that, that truly his wife was his second wife that was selected for him while he was in office, who was amazingly, anyway, they said that she was really, according to the author that wrote the book, Wilson that just came out, that she was the first female president of the United States. They said this in a positive way. And the whole thing is, America, it's who you elect is supposed to be the president. And if you want somebody different, if you want Valerie Jarrett, for example, to be president, vote for her. And if you want President Barack Obama to be president, vote for him. If you want whoever you want to be president, you know, vote for them. Then expect them to be president.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and the book is entitled that we had earlier, and I wouldn't say this, but based on what they said at the JFK Library prior to selecting who they were going to want to have a transformational presidency, it was stated that the last on the list of being selected under Hillary Clinton, under the perfect hair dude,
Jonathan Edwards
was president, then Senator Barack Obama, because he was not this extremist. He was more the middle of the line,
more moderate.
And that's kind of where America really is, kind of moderate. And so, my goodness, you know, this is a huge selection process, because, you know, our president's pastor said, you have to understand that he was selected before he was elected. We hear Valerie Jarrett say herself, and you can see this on the BFN Torch, that I went specifically to recruit Michelle. Secondly came Brock, and he listened to his wife and he listened to me, and I like that. And now they spend, you have the president, Michelle, and Valerie, and the girls in the White House most of the time hanging out, which is like, who's listening to who? What's happening here in the context
of that?
And so then you say, well, Jesus says, you know what's happening by their fruit. And we're saying this because if the head of our nation is seduced, if the power is not really, if it's like Ahab and Jezebel, for example, Ahab was actually the king that God expected to lead, but he didn't have it. He gave his authority over to Jezebel because she had a ulterior motive and she just wanted to run it. And he wanted some things done that he couldn't do. And he tried it and it failed and he got depressed. And so she comes to him. Jezebel comes to him and says, these are legitimate people. This is not what people, it's not religious stuff. And so Jezebel comes to King Ahab and says, give me your ring. I'll do this for you. And so she's able to go cut this treaty with the Ayatollah. No, she's able to cut this treaty with Naboth. I mean, she has a whole scheme planned out how that she was going to get the king the property he wanted. By the way, just to let you know how the story ends, that despite people seducing Ahab's authority and they're really the culprits in doing this thing, that's not how God sees it. God sees it. He's going to hold the true authority accountable. So you can blame your wife all you want to, and you can blame your kids all you want to, and you can blame your flock and your board all you want to, and you can blame the people all you want to, and you can blame your cabinet all you want to. But this is what happened was, yeah, God dealt with Jezebel. But with Ahab, God had an arrow go in the air, just shot in the air out of the middle of nowhere. And as Ahab was hiding out, the king, the true authority, was hiding out, thinking that nobody could see him. It just happened to land on him and kill and caused him to begin to bleed profusely during the war. So they took his carriage over to a particular property. So he sat there in this carriage and he bled out. He bled out from this wound. The king bled out in this wound. And guess where he bled out? He bled out over this bad treaty. Mm-hmm. He bled out over Naboth's property, over what he thought he got through Jezebel's scheming. Understand this. Everybody understand this. God's going to hold you accountable. If you're the mama, if you're the daddy, you're the husband, you know, if you, no matter what people are doing and you feel like they're accomplishing things for you, this is what God said about Ahab. I regretted the day. No, this is what he said about, this is what he said about Ahab. He said that you let those around you lead you astray. you let your wife lead you astray. And what he said to Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth outside of Jesus, he said, you let those around you lead you astray. Mm-hmm. What he said to Adam, he said, you let those around you lead you astray. Mm. I'm not naming names or genders, but that's, you know, that's what he's saying. And so the thing about it is, if you are the man or the woman that God's chose to lead, then you can't blame those around you for leading you astray. He's going to hold you accountable. And there's nobody more powerful, seemingly, and talented than those who will be used to lead you astray. That's the very magic that they have. It's like, I can work this thing out. I was born in Iran. Me and the Ayatollah, we had cappuccino together, you know? and I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying, I mean, you think about it. When you're fighting for something, you're just like, I just want so bad for that to happen. If you could just work this one... If you could just get me Naboth's property because I can actually grow a garden there. And what they were doing, this is what they were doing. This is why this is important. It's because they were taking the inheritance. They were taking Naboth, the fruitful one's inheritance. And right now what's happening in the Middle East with this, and the reason why we're talking about it, is because our president and all those around him that are leading him, or he's leading them, or being led astray, or being led rightly, whatever, they're all trying to take Naboth's property. They're trying to take the land. They're trying to give up the land. Mm-hmm. And it's not well. You got to find out whose key is this? You might throw a whole bunch of keys on the floor. It's like, okay, this is the president's key. This is the Senate's key. This is the congressman's key. These are the Americans' key. And start giving everybody's keys back. And then when you start operating your authority, which God's going to hold you accountable for anyway, things tend to work out. And so the question is, well, you know them by your fruit. You can actually go back and look at Ahab's wife, and you could say, okay, this is what happened. He was down. He was depressed. He tried to work out a treaty, some sort of agreement with Naboth. It didn't work. He felt he was defeated. And this is the next evidence. She went and started counseling him. Whose wife wouldn't do that? Mm. But then when she came out, she said, listen, I can do this thing. I can do this thing. Give me your ring, which means give me your authority, because that's how you sign your name. And she went out there and began to write letters in his name and gathered a whole bunch of people together around a table in Geneva. I mean, a table in the community. Mm. And they brought Naboth in, and they sat Naboth, which was a Jew who had an inheritance, his father's inheritance, and they sat him at the table, and they put two scoundrels. This is, I'm quoting what the scripture says. They put two scoundrels on both sides of him, and they had this all strategized out and planned. You would probably hear something like this. Don't listen to any Israelis, and don't listen to any of the people who are normally our allies. I mean, you'd probably hear something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And because they were setting up Naboth to take his property. And, of course, they did. But that's the property that God's selected authority bled out on. His blood poured out over Naboth's property, the things that he took. And let me tell you something right now. If you divide the land of Israel, if you try to take Naboth's property, if you try to, I mean, you can say all this stuff, but understand American blood will be on the soil. It will cost us. There will be a third war. They're not going to give it up. God's not going to let it go, but it's going to cost us. It says all the nations unite, gather, against Jerusalem, actually, not against. It's not the Armageddon, Megiddo, and all this kind of stuff. It's actually against Jerusalem. The argument's over Jerusalem, which is the city of peace. Mm-hmm. And so what's the fruit then? That would be Jezebel's fruit in the context of it, the queen and the king. And she was actually had the great ability to didn't matter who it was, she had powers that she could immediately start trying to seduce authority. And when Jehu was coming to remove her from the place of authority, I mean, the woman was brushing her hair and putting lipstick on. Mm. And a few moments later, she's going to be thrown out the window from eunuchs. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had such a great ability to seduce folks. I don't know where we are in the time. That she had such a great ability to seduce folks that the people around her, they had to make of them eunuchs so that they couldn't. That's how powerful, seductive she was. I mean, they had to cut their stuff off just so they wouldn't be seduced by her.
Wow.
And so she was putting lipstick on when Jehu was coming, a man that God called to remove her from her and all of her places, her sons and the places of authority there. And when she got there, she was so seductive that even Jehu didn't get close to her. He just stood on the ground and said, throw her out. Oh. And so her eunuchs threw her out the window. She landed. The horses trampled her in the ground. And the only thing that left after the dogs ate every part of her was her hands and her feet, right? Bones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's what God thinks about seduced authority. You can say what you want to, but the second Revelation chapter 2 talks about those who call themselves a prophet. What spiritually is locking down on America? And it has to do with authority. Where is the authority? Why is the authority seen to be watered down? Why does it seem to be wishy-washy? Maybe the authority seduced. Maybe it is like a Jezebel spirit versus Ahab spirit. And this is not gender. This is a spirit. And so we want to talk about the fruit.
Yeah.
So what we talked about, the actual fruit, biblical fruit that we talked about, what happened to that. What is the fruit in regards to what's being said about the de facto president, Valerie Jarrett?
Well, there's an article by the National Review. It's called the Jarrett File, and it consists of multiple sources who have written extensively about her influence in the White House. And one of the things that they say is that the memos in the White House are littered, as this article says, with what VG thinks.
Well,
VG thinks, which is Valerie Jarrett.
Let's say about, yeah.
Valerie Jarrett. And basically that you see a lot of these policies that are happening and decisions that the president's making, there's huge fallout for it. Mm-hmm. And she's credited by many of these sources for different things. For instance, the Olympics. Remember when they were trying to get the Olympics in Denmark, I believe Copenhagen, to come to Chicago? Well,
yeah.
Allegedly, she was behind influencing the president to go all the way to Denmark. I mean, what president goes to another country to sell another nation? And
we always heard the author of Amateur talk about that on Fox News.
And the reason why that's important is because she has had a career in Chicago, which brings billions of dollars into Chicago.
Right.
And it happened. So the president doesn't look good when your president goes to make a pitch in person and then now.
So she had enough power to send the president over to Copenhagen.
Right.
Was it Copenhagen?
Denmark.
Denmark, okay. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen.
Because it seemed kind of strange then at the time. It's like, why would such a man of power show up for the Olympics at a time like this? Mm-hmm. And you would think, you know, paying off the select ones who selected you.
Yep.
We're finding out, according to this article, that it was Valerie.
Yep.
Wow.
Solyndra was a power company, energy company. It's being reported that she was the one that influenced, you know, the president to make those decisions, and now that company's went completely bankrupt, and it's about, you know, energy, green.
Solar power,
all that. It went bankrupt, and the government invested millions, countless millions
hundreds
of dollars.
Millions, yeah.
Hundreds of millions of that company with. It's reported that the press secretary at that time, Robert Gibbs, who it's reported that allegedly Valerie told Robert that the president's wife did not like some of the things that he was saying, and Robert Gibbs went off basically on, you know, on
Valerie.
He said
some pretty disrespectful things.
Very disrespectful things, and guess what? She's credited with him no longer being the press secretary, and that's why you see Jay Carney now. And Robert Gibbs, who was instrumental to the president during the campaign, he was the voice, the communicator. That's what the press secretary does. Mm-hmm. He's out of the picture. It's reported that when the Affordable Health Care was being put together, that the contraceptive mandate was Valerie's idea. Well, the chief of staff at the time, which was Daley, he was advising the president, you don't want to go this route. You want to force religious organizations to do this. This is not a good idea. In fact, it's reported that he brought Cardinal Dolan from New York to speak to the president. Uh-huh. And when it's reported that when Valerie found out, that was put an end to that. That never happened. And so now that's a really big, big issue. And then many are wondering today with Kathleen Sebelius, who is the head of the Health and Human Services, she's a secretary. Why has she not been let go? This has been a huge embarrassment for the president. It's just not working. Over now, 5 million people have lost their health care. They've not been able to register for these benefits. Mm-hmm. Why has she not been fired or let go? And it's reported that Kathleen Sebelius is very good friends with Valerie Jarrett.
But she's also real good friends with Michelle Obama.
She's
they actually talk about this, and hopefully this will be available for you. that they come home every night together and relax and have popcorn and eat together.
Wow.
And that's where they were having a dinner when she was recruiting her, Michelle, mm-hmm. into the private sector.
Wow. So this is a series of events.
These are a whole bunch of friends. That's why friends don't fire friends.
Mm.
Friends don't fire friends. But this is not a place for just, you can be friends outside of that. I mean, what is the goal? What is the driving force behind this? And is our president leading in the context of that? I know there's also in April the 3rd, 2013, on C-SPAN that Valerie Jarrett did a segment on women in politics. And so you're talking about a lot of women in politics in the context of what's taking place right there. I didn't realize she was in politics. I thought she was an advisor to a politician, but maybe she's actually in, politics here.
Well, they're saying that she's basically the chief of staff. They don't know what her title is. Mm-hmm. Like we said earlier, she commands a staff of, I believe, of about three dozen. At one time, David Axelrod, who was an advisor to the president, it was reported that someone was trying to basically attack him, a plan to do, to hurt him. And so he was issued Secret Service detail. But immediately, it's reported that Valerie Jarrett had to have Secret Service detail, which is unprecedented for someone, outside of the president, really, or family, to have Secret Service detail. And so this just goes on and on and on and on. But the Jarrett file, it's comprised of several articles and pieces from everyone from the New York Times to Bob Woodard, Double Down, a political writer, Mike Allen. It just goes on and on about all these different sources that are saying pretty much the very same thing.
Well, she's saying right here in the C-SPAN interview on April the 3rd, 2013, it's entitled Valerie Jarrett on Women in Politics, and we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch, is she talks about her role with the Obama administration, gun control, immigration, and criticism of the president, and that there's not enough women in the cabinet there, but gun control and all that. She even talks more about the aspect of it. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And the thing is that if in fact you feel anybody, I can imagine what you feel like. I can't even imagine, but you can imagine how if you really weren't prepared for the presidency, and that's a huge preparation, and the process normally prepares you. You have to, you should run a business or something.
Right.
You should have a payroll. You should hack your way through stuff. And what they did was, it looks like they just protected the one they selected through the whole process, but didn't allow him to have these experiences that give him to know that, hey, you're the one, you have to lead. And and so then you start leaning. If you don't know, then you start leaning on those that you believe do know. And then we find out, hey, as Cy would say, hey.
Hey. Listen here.
He might not be running this thing. And so that means that we know how to pray for him. And first, I want to say this.
Definitely.
I want to say this. Pray for Valerie, for whatever she had, has aspirations, what she wanted, vision for our country. And when she selected Michelle, then selected Barack. And went through these processes. She says publicly on the stage that she selected
Van Jones.
Van Jones.
Yes.
She says she's been watching Van Jones for quite some time. And so, you do need somebody on your cabinet that you trust that has your heart to be able to do that. But understand, but are you leading this thing? Mm-hmm. So begin to pray for Valerie. This as a church, let's just pray for her. Pray that God would bless her. Pray that God would direct her. Pray that he would speak to her in her sleep. And that she would give good godly counsel to our president, and that our president would hear the voice of the Lord himself.
Yes.
And anything that he would hear would bear witness with what God is saying for the nation of America, what God is saying for Israel. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, save our president. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the daily radio program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the daily radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the daily radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.